Good morning. Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. This past Sunday, we continued on with our series that we've been calling Dumb Tax. We've been going through the book of Judges. And, this past Sunday, we looked at the story of a guy named Gideon. And again, the context here is that in the book of Judges, it's about a 350-year period from the time right after Moses and Joshua, from the time that the Israelites first kind of enter the promised land, 350 years until the time of the monarchy, until Saul and David, the time that Israel has kings. That's sort of the theme of the book of Judges, is it's a time where there was no king and everybody just did what was right in their own eyes. It is a time of moral and spiritual and ethical decline for the people of Israel, for the nation of Israel. And so what happens is there's this cycle where they turn away from God. God gives them into the hands of their enemies as punishment. They cry out to God eventually when things get really, really bad. And then God in grace and in mercy always responds, even though he doesn't have to, even though they don't deserve it. God raises up a deliverer, a judge to rescue the people. And usually that lasts as long as the judge is alive, and then the people turn right back to their old ways. And it's just this cycle that goes round and round and round. And in Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8, there's a story of a guy named Gideon. And God raises up Gideon, and his call is quite similar to Moses' call. He calls Gideon, and Gideon says, "Look, I'm the youngest in my family, and my clan is the least of the tribe of Manasseh," and he kind of gives excuses for why. Basically, God, you've picked the wrong guy. And God says, "No, Gideon, I'm going to use you to deliver the people of Israel from your oppressors." And right now that's Midian, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and it just says people from the east who have kind of banded together, and they're raiders. They come in and they just raid and pillage. They sweep across Israel and pretty much take anything they want and destroy anything they want, and they oppress the people. And it's a terrible time for the people of Israel. And it's been like this for 7 years. And so God says, "Look, Gideon, I'm going to use you." And what happens, it's a fantastic story. If you've not read Judges 6, 7, and 8, take the time to read those three chapters, because it's actually the longest narrative in the book of Judges, and it's just a fascinating story. Gideon doesn't really believe God. He kind of doubts him, and so he asks him to do a bunch of things to prove that God's really going to, use him and that God is who he says he is, and God is patient through that process. And eventually he calls out the armies of some of the tribes of Israel, and 32,000 people respond, but then God says, "Gideon, that's too many people. The people of Israel, such is their idolatrous heart right now. They will, if we win with 32,000, they're going to say, 'Look at what we did,' rather than 'Look at what God did.'" And so he tells him he has to whittle the army down. And so he first says, "Tell everybody who's scared just to go home." And in my head, I would think Gideon would have thought that, he would say that, and with that much testosterone and everybody's there and everybody's, ready for battle, that maybe a few guys would leave, but somebody would just shout out freedom and then they'd all have a big, battle cry. But instead, 22,000 people leave. More than 2/3 of the army just walks off. He says, "Look, if you're afraid, go home." They're like, "Thanks." And they leave. And so then after that, God says, "It's still too many." And so he kind of has this odd thing where he tells the army, he says, "You got to tell the army to go down and drink from the water, and only the people who basically cup their hands and bring the water up to their mouth and drink that way, only those people get to stay. And out of 10,000, only 300 do it that way. The rest just kneel all the way down and drink straight out of the stream." And God says, "Okay, with those 300, we're going to deliver the people of Israel." And so it's just impossible odds. You're wondering, how is this ever going to work? But, what we don't know and what Gideon discovers is that God's already at work. He has actually, some of the Midianite guys are having, one of the guys in particular is having a dream about, a barley loaf that rolls into the camp and knocks over one of the tents. And one of the other Midianites is saying, what your dream represents? That represents this guy named Gideon. It's got to be Gideon who's going to come in and smash us. And so, God has orchestrated this where Gideon is basically haunting the dreams of the Midianites. And so Gideon hears this and knows, man, this is our opportunity. And so he divides his forces, and they don't even draw their swords. They at nighttime, It's like psychological warfare. They throw down their jars with fire in them. They start blasting the trumpets. And normally only a few people in the army carry those trumpets and those jars. And so it looks like they have a much bigger force than they actually do. And the Midianites and the Amalekites, they wake up in the middle of the night to this, you know, horrible sound. And everyone says, you know, I mean, they start thinking like it's Gideon, right? And so they turn on each other and they start fighting each other. And it's just a rout. They run away fighting each other. And eventually the Israelites do pursue them, but God does this mighty work. As we got to the end of the story, you know, I'm telling this story and I said, so, you know, at the end of the day, what's the point? And I think there are times where we kind of maybe moralize the story. We say, well, the point is trust God. The point is God can do, you know, great things. And that's absolutely true. I think when it comes to characters like this, sometimes we get fixated on the character and say, well, the point is, you know, look at how great a man of faith Gideon was. We need to be like Gideon. Well, the problem with that is that as the story progresses after this, it just gets worse and worse. Gideon, not only did we see he was imperfect and that he didn't really trust God a lot. He tested God a bunch of times. He's afraid. He turns out to be kind of cruel. He murders people in his own nation in Israel for, you know, mistreating him. And in the end, he ends up asking people for gold. And then he makes what's called an ephod. He makes this, it's a garment that later on priests would wear, but basically it becomes an idol. And the story ends in chapter 8, where it says that Israel prostituted itself to this idol, this ephod that Gideon had made, and it became a snare to Gideon and his family. And so the story ends as the story began, and that is with the people of God rebelling against God, and Gideon has a part in that. And so it's hard not to just kind of be frustrated and, you know, saddened over this. And I said, man, how do you look at this story and find the redemptive nature? And I think the answer is you look past Gideon to see Christ. You know, Gideon, for all of his flaws, there is an echo, a reflection there of Christ. There's a particular part in the story where Gideon breaks down the altar of Baal, and he cuts down the Asherah pole, these idols, basically. And his own brothers, his own townspeople, demand that he be killed, demand his death because of what he's done. And yet Gideon's father refuses to turn him over and defends him. And I think about, you know, Jesus, his own brothers, his own people demanded his death. And yet his heavenly Father, God himself, gave him up. God gave up his own son willingly to save the very people that were demanding his death. God gave up Jesus in order to save the people for whom sin he was dying. God gave up Jesus to save sinners like you and me. And so even in Gideon's story, at the end of the day, what we see is this reflection, this pointing forward to Christ, the ultimate deliverer, the ultimate judge, the perfect one, Jesus, our Savior. And so I'm going to take a moment here and just pray for us that would settle on us today, that we would not fixate on Gideon as we think about Judges 6, 7, and 8, but rather we would ultimately fixate on Christ and what God has done for us in raising up the ultimate deliverer to defeat our enemy, the greatest enemy we have, sin, death, and Satan himself, and that we would just celebrate that. And then I want to encourage you to take a moment and pray for yourself. God, we thank you for these stories, these real stories of people like Gideon. And at the same time, Father, we recognize that, God, these stories, these people, ultimately, Lord, they're meant to point us to Christ. That is the point of the scriptures. That's the culmination of everything, Father, is what Jesus did for us at the cross, his resurrection. God, what you've done for us in sending Jesus to save us. And we have our great hope that one day he will return. And I pray that folks listening this morning would sense that, believe that, and you'd settle it on their hearts in a powerful way this morning. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you take a moment and just pray for yourself. Thanks so much for joining us for the LifePoint Drivecast. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day. And we hope you'll tune in with us again tomorrow morning.